This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا يوم ترجف الراجفة تتبعها الرادفة قلوب يومئذ واجفة أبصارها خاشعة يقولون أئنا لمردودون في الحافرة أئذا كنا عظاما نخرة قالوا تلك إذا كرة خاسرة فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإذا هم بالساهرة هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى فأراه الآية الكبرى فكذب وعصى ثم أدبر يسعى فحشر فنادى فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها رفع سمكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها والجبال أرساها متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى يوم يتذكر الإنسان ما سعى وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى فأما من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فأما من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فإن الجحيم هي المأوى وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها فيما أنت من ذكراها إلى ربك منتهاها إنما أنت منذر من يخشاها كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها. ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين كلا إن كتاب الفجار لفي سجين وما أدراك ما سجين كتاب مرقوم ويل يومئذ للمكذبين الذين يكذبون بيوم الدين
وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون ثم إنهم لصال الجحيم ثم يقال هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون كلا إن كتاب الأبرار لفي عليين وما أدراك ما عليون كتاب مرقوم يشهده المقربون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم على الأرائك ينظرون تعرف في وجوههم نظرة النعيم تعرف في وجوههم نظرة النعيم تعرف في وجوههم نظرة النعيم يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون ومزاجه من تسنيم عينا يشرب بها المقربون إن الذين أجرموا كانوا من الذين آمنوا يضحكون وإذا مروا بهم يتغامزون وإذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم انقلبوا فكهين وإذا رأوهم قالوا إن هؤلاء لضالون وما أرسلوا عليهم حافظين فاليوم الذين آمنوا من الكفار يضحكون على الأرائك ينظرون هل ثوب الكفار ما كانوا يفعلون
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، we come to the last or second last day of the month of Ramadan, a month which went by extremely quickly. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ in the beginning of the ayat, commanding us to fast, the point of it was to remind us that these days will come and go. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, a limited number of days. And so if that is how we feel at the end of Ramadan, that it went by so quickly, and it feels as if it was only yesterday that we were welcoming this month, then how about the days of this dunya? And that's why on the Day of Judgment, when the people are gathered, they will ask one another, how long did we spend in the dunya? Some will say a few days, some will say 10 days, as Allah says in the Quran. But Allah tells us that the closest in estimation among them are those who say that it was only one day. This is the reality of time. This is the reality of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by, wal asr, by time. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take an oath by time? Because of how valuable time is. And so the month of Ramadan has gone by, and we are about to bid farewell to this month. As we come to the end of this month, the question is, where do you stand? And how well have you done throughout this month? That's because the month of Ramadan is a training ground for us. It's a training camp to train us to be able to control our nafs and its desires, to train us to become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to train us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, to train us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance and seeking His forgiveness. And so now that the month is coming to an end, we need to be reminded that it doesn't end here. Whatever good we set forth in the month of Ramadan, for us, should be a starting point and not the end. And so although the days have come to an end, Whatever we have done throughout this month, it should now continue. It should now continue after Ramadan. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is the true sign that whatever we did in the month of Ramadan has been accepted from us. And so now that we come to the end of Ramadan, we're wondering, have my deeds been accepted or not? And the true believer fears that his deeds were not accepted. The true believer is not someone who is filled with confidence and self-admiration that, oh, I did such a great deed. Look at all of these acts of worship that I did in the month of Ramadan. And so he feels proud of himself, thinking that he did it all on his own and through his own efforts. And so now that the month of Ramadan is over, now I could rest. That's not how it works. Yes, in this dunya, if you put effort into something, let's say you had an exam and you studied very hard for it and you sat the exam and you wrote it and you feel you did well and you have confidence that you did well, and when you see the result, yes, you did very well. But that's not how our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. That's not how the believer lives in this dunya. But rather, the believer lives between two things. Between hope that what he did was accepted, and hope in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hope in the forgiveness of Allah, and hope in the mercy of Allah, but balancing it with fear of Allah's punishment, fear that perhaps what I did was not accepted, and so I need to continue to do more until my last breath. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. This was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For who? Not for me and you, but rather for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation, the best of mankind, the closest of us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah commands him, and worship your Lord until al-yaqeen, until you have arrived at your last breath, until death. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, as we come to the end of the month, we should fear that perhaps my deeds were not accepted. And this is why the Salaf, they would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would pray 6 months before Ramadan came. They would pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to witness Ramadan. And then 6 months after Ramadan, they would be praying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted from them everything that they did in the month of Ramadan. My dear brothers and sisters, a sign that your deeds were accepted in the month of Ramadan is that your state improves after this month. A sign that your deeds were accepted and your ibadat were accepted in the month of Ramadan is that a transformation comes in your life for the better. That your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala improves. That your life changes around. That you leave your old habits behind. And you start on a new footing. My dear brothers and sisters, the month of Ramadan was a training ground for us. To train us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just for 30 days, but so that
it continues afterwards. What is a training camp? It's not just that you come and you train and then you leave, not continuing what you have started, but rather the purpose of training yourself is so that you continue afterwards, so that you build on what you started, not so that you start something and then you leave it. And so we have the opportunity after the month of Ramadan to continue where we left off in the month of Ramadan, to continue with the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting it day in, day out, listening to it, sitting with the Quran, pondering over its meanings, trying to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us with. We should continue after the month of Ramadan with fasting. Fasting, voluntary fasts. Because as we may have noticed, fasting, it helps us to achieve taqwa. It helps us to become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, suppressing our desires in what Allah has made halal, food and drink, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram. Which is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing the youth, he said, whoever among you can get married, then let him get married. But whoever is not able to, then let him fast. Because fasting helps in lowering the gaze and protecting the private parts. And so we should continue after the month of Ramadan. We have the month of Shawwal, which comes after Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to fast 6 days in this month and said that whoever follows the month of Ramadan with 6 days of Shawwal, it is as if he fasted the entire year. And that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies our deeds by 10. And so if Ramadan is 30 days, multiplied by 10, you have 300. And 6 days of Shawwal, multiplied by 10, gives you 60. 360 days between the 355 days of the Hijri year and the 365 years of the solar year. We should make it a habit to fast 3 days of every month, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged. We should make the habit to fast Mondays and Thursdays and all other days, which are days in which it is sunnah to fast. We should continue after the month of Ramadan praying at night, Qiyamul Layl, Salatul Tahajjud, waking up in the middle of the night, forsaking our beds, forsaking our sleep, to get up and communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last third of the night, the part of the night when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nearest to us, when He descends and calls on us, asking, who is out there? Who is calling upon me so that I could answer his call? Who is praying to me? Who is asking me for something so that I could give him? Who is seeking my forgiveness so that I could forgive him? My dear brothers and sisters, praying at night is a means of keeping us steadfast upon this deen. In times of fitan, when there are so many fitnas out there, in these trying times, whether they are related to our beliefs and doubts, or whether they are related to our desires, praying in the middle of the night is a means that keeps us steadfast. And that's why, in the beginning of Islam, before the 5 daily salawat became obligatory, the Muslims in Mecca, they would pray Qiyamul Layl. And that's why among the very first ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah mentions Qiyamul Layl in Suratul Muzzammil. My dear brothers and sisters, as we approach the final hours of the month of Ramadan, we are reminded that the month of Ramadan was a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us our sins. It was a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to us, and He accepts our ibadat more than at any other time, multiplying our deeds. We are reminded in the month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us our sins. And so this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us at the end of the month, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. At the end of the ayat of fasting in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that you complete the period, 29 or 30 days, and so that you make takbir. You make takbir saying, Allahu Akbar. For what? وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. So that you glorify Allah, proclaiming that Allah is great, saying Allahu Akbar for what Allah had guided you to in this month of Ramadan. And so what we are reminded here is that whatever we did in the month of Ramadan, it was not from our own self, it was not from our own efforts, but rather it was because Allah guided us to it. And so if you are among the winners at the end of Ramadan, then it is not because of your own efforts, but rather it is because Allah guided you to it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to be among those who would have done what they did in the month of Ramadan. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you thank Allah for that. And so what we are reminded here is that we should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings upon us. The blessings of Allah are so many that we can never sit down and enumerate them. But among the greatest blessings are the blessings of Islam and being guided to do what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you to be among those whose sins were forgiven in the month of Ramadan, if He made you to be among those who have been saved from the hellfire, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that in every single night in Ramadan there are those who Allah saves, releases from the hellfire. If you were among them, then after the month of Ramadan, don't be among those who go knocking on the doors of the hellfire, getting closer to hellfire, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a distance for you between it. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, whatever good we did in the month of Ramadan, it was because of Allah. We should not feel any self-admiration at the end of the month of Ramadan, but rather what we should be reminded of is that this was all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of this was possible except with the tawfiq and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're also reminded to continue whatever good we started in the month of Ramadan. And so at the end of the month, we should only be seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. we should not be waiting for our reward in this dunya, but rather we should be waiting for it on the Day of Judgment. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فاتقوا الله عباد الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله إن كنتم مؤمنين. My dear brothers and sisters, as we come to the end of Ramadan, there are a few reminders that we need to be reminded with as part of the end of Ramadan. The very first reminder is to give our Zakatul Fitr. And so Zakatul Fitr is obligatory upon each and every single Muslim to give at the end of Ramadan. And so it is obligatory upon each and every single Muslim, each and every single member of the household, whether they are old, whether they are young. Some scholars even recommended and said it is encouraged to give it on behalf of the fetus in the womb of the mother. Zakatul Fitr is to be given by the guardian, the head of the household, and it is to be given as food, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us, not as money. And so it needs to be given as food to the poor. And so if you don't have the means, you don't have the ability to give it as food, then you should delegate someone. Give money to somebody who will purchase food with that money and give it to the poor. The point is that what should be received by the poor is food and not money. And so there are many charities out there who are collecting money in order to use that money to give food as Zakatul Fitr for the poor. Also, Zakatul Fitr must be given before Salatul Eid. And so if you have not given your Zakatul Fitr until now, then now is the time, before it's too late, to give it. The second reminder is concerning fasting for those who did not fast in the month of Ramadan, whether it was the entire month or a few days, because of a valid, legitimate excuse. And so, for those who had a valid excuse to not fast the month of Ramadan, then they are in two categories. The first are those who were not able to fast, and they will not be able to fast in the future either, meaning that they have a certain illness that prevents them to fast forever. And so such people, they are to give fidya for not being able to fast. They're supposed to give a fidya to the poor. As for those who are able to fast, they are physically able to, but they were not able to in the month of Ramadan, then they have to make up those days after the month of Ramadan. They should hasten to make up those days and not delay them until the next Ramadan. The third reminder is concerning the day of Eid and the current situation that we're in. And so, for almost everyone out there, our masajid remain closed. And it's unfortunate that we're gonna have to have a day of Eid without gathering and coming together for that. Considering this situation, considering the current lockdown, we are reminded that although we're not able to get together for the day of Eid and pray, it doesn't mean that we lose the joy of Eid on this very special day. And so perhaps the only thing that we will not be able to do is pray Salatul Eid together as a congregation. Other than that, everything else related to the day of Eid remains this year. And so, on the last day of Ramadan, whether it is today or whether it is tomorrow, based on the sighting of the moon, once we hear that the new moon has been sighted for Shawwal, then we start glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with takbir. And so we say Allahu Akbar. We say Allahu Akbar aloud. And we tell our family members to do the same. From that point all the way until the morning, until Salatul Eid. Secondly, on this day, in the morning when we get up, make sure that we eat something after Salatul Fajr. And the wisdom behind that is to indicate that this is a day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted us to now eat. Whereas the 29, 30 days prior to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us. And so what this shows us is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the only reason why we either refrain from eating or we eat at the same time in the morning, it was only a day prior that we were not allowed to eat. The only reason why we refrained was because of the greatness of Allah in our hearts. Thirdly, wash up. Wear the best of clothes. Wear your new clothes, your Eid clothes. Put on the best perfume. Adorn yourself on this day as you would on every Eid. Because it is still the day of Eid, regardless of how we spend it. Thirdly, pray Eid with your family. And so, the situation that we're in this year is a unique one. It is one that has not been witnessed ever before in the history of Islam. And this is why we are hearing many different opinions. Should we pray Eid? Should we not? How should we pray it if we're going to pray it? What we should be reminded here of is that this is a new situation. And we don't have any explicit text in the Quran or in the Sunnah or even from the statements of the Sahaba to tell us what to do in such a situation. What we have are a few statements of a few companions or their actions, what they did when they were not able to pray Eid. But even that was different. They were not prevented from praying Eid. And so because of this, the scholars, they differed, each one performing his own personal ijtihad to arrive at what he sees as being the correct opinion. And so what is advisable now is not to be disputing among one another, but rather we say that this is a legitimate and valid scholarly difference of opinion. And so what the Muslim should do is follow those scholars who he would normally follow in any other aspect of his deen. And this is why we have fatawa, or we have fatwa committees, scholarly bodies who get together and consult one another. What we should do as a community is to consult and follow the opinions of these fatwa committees. And so what is advisable in the current situation is that we pray, to pray Salatul Eid at home. But what we should also understand is that Salatul Eid in the end of the day is not a fard ayn. It is not an individual obligation, but rather it is between either being fard kifaya, a communal obligation, or a sunnah mu'akkada. And so if you decide not to pray Salatul Eid, then there's nothing wrong with that. But if you decide to pray it, then there's nothing wrong with that either. And so if you decide to pray it, then it should be prayed as you usually would pray Salatul Eid. Pray it at home with your family. The first rak'ah, make your takbir 7 times, including the first takbir. And then in the second rak'ah, when you get up from sujood, you're to make 6 takbirat. And all of this is without a khutbah. All of this is without a khutbah. Finally, on this day of Eid, congratulate one another. Even if you're not able to get together physically, call your friends, your relatives, congratulate them on this joyous occasion of Eid. And if you're able to get together with your family, your close family, with your close relatives, then do so and enjoy the day of Eid, for it is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to enjoy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our fasting and our prayers, our qiyam, our recitation of the Quran, our sadaqat, our zakat, and all of our good deeds in this month of Ramadan. We ask Allah to accept it from us and to store it for us on a day in which we will need it the most. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring our hearts together, even if He has not brought us physically together. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring an end to the current crisis and to allow us to open the doors of our masajid once again. هَذَا وَصَلُّوا وَسَلِّمُوا عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا أَمَرَكُمْ بِذَلِكَ رَبُّكُمْ جَلَّ فِي عُلَاهُ فَقَالَ تَعَالَى قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وارض اللهم عن خلفائه الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين وعنا معهم برحمتك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم ارفع عنا الوباء، اللهم ارفع عنا الوباء، اللهم ارفع عنا الوباء والغلاء والزلازل والمحن وسوء الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن يا رب العالمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيذكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. A reminder, if you're at home watching this, to pray Salatul Dhuhr 4 rak'at and not to pray Salatul Jum'ah, as we have been live streaming the khutbah every Friday. And also one last reminder that Markaz Abu Huraira will be receiving you on the day of Eid for a drive through Eid al-Fitr. And so come dressed in your best clothes, your Eid clothes, and come with your children and let them receive their goodies. It will be a drive through. You'll be required to stay in your car. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the day of Eid a joyous one for us. Thank you.